You are listening to the cycling podcast A De Vuelta a España in association with Rafa, the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Kenyon's Run. Stage 9. Today we are in Encamp.
Welcome to Andorra and the cycling podcast, stage 9 coverage from the Vuelta a España. My name is Richard Moore. I'm at the top here at Cortal d'Encamp, having got a cable car up here, about 15-20 minutes, up into the sky, very cloudy sky. There's a bit of rain, it's quite breezy. I guess I'm here by a process of elimination because Lionel took one look, took one kind of sniff in the direction of Andorra and scarpered back to London or the UK. Francois Thomaso wouldn't, not that he's here, but if he was here, he wouldn't have come up here in the cable car. And unfortunately, Daniel Freeb's car was broken into last night and he had everything stolen, including all his clothes. So he's off on a shopping expedition in Andorra, although he is apparently on his way up here. So by a process of elimination, I'm here at the top of the climb, 2,100 metres. You can feel how thin the air is up here. And it's chilly. And like I say, storm clouds are in the sky. And this is one of these very short stages that you cannot really take your eyes off. It's up and down all day. It's like a W and a V, upside down, side to side. The climb up to the finish here is kind of three ramps up here. As I speak, they're on the Col de la Galina. Theo Gegenhart is off the front with Geoffrey Bouchard, the AG2R rider. They're just ahead of a big break which went clear early on. 34 riders in that, including 2 Movistar, 3 Astana, 3 Jumbo Visma, 4 Sunweb, and 4 Ineos as well initially. One name that caught my eye there was Ben O'Connor from Dimension Data, who at the Giro d'Italia told us that he had never been in a breakaway in a World Tour race. I'm not sure if he has been. He rode the Tour of Poland. I'm not sure if he got a break there, but maybe I'll ask him at the finish if that was his first break, if a 34-man group actually counts as a break. Astana doing quite a lot at the front to protect Miguel Angel Lopez, who's pretty much virtual red jersey now. Nicolas Edé of Cofidis, I think he's been dropped now. It's a big climb, the Col de la Galina. We came up there last year in the Vuelta, of course, on the penultimate day. So I'm obviously, stage hasn't finished yet. There's a bit of drama at the moment with Esteban Chavez, who had a puncture, swap bikes an issue with Damien Housen, his rather taller teammate, which meant that he was on a bike that was several sizes too big for him. He swapped again with Skabu Gurmay, the Ethiopian teammate. That was a bit better, but got himself sorted eventually, and he has been taken up as far to the back of the group as his teammates could. Nick Schultz, our audio diarist, was among them, but he's agonizingly off the back, and I'm not sure. It's a kind of crucial moment for Chavez and his Vuelta as I speak. I'm hoping to be joined by Lionel and or Daniel later on in this episode, but we're kind of giving a live commentary as the stage unfolds at the moment. And at the start this morning in Andorra, I spoke to the man who's off the front now, a rider who lives near here, as so many riders do. In fact, I bumped into his girlfriend Hannah Barnes in the Cafe Ode that's owned by Jack Haig, the Mitchelson Scott rider. Hannah Barnes, a professional with Canyon SRAM, of course, and she is the partner of Theo Gegenhart, the Team Ineos rider, who's currently at the head of the race. He's been looking forward to this stage, having been ill in the first week of the Vuelta, but here's what he said this morning. Theo, well, how are you? I mean, are you feeling a little bit better? You had a week go the other day. Are you back in full health?
Yeah, definitely able to eat and everything again, so that's good. It was a weird first week, definitely not what I expected, but yeah, that's bike racing, so step by step onwards. And yeah, today's one of the stages I was looking forward to even a month or two ago, so see how it goes, see what happens.
Well, how well do you know these roads?
Yeah, super well. Trained on all of them and ridden all of them a lot of times, even the gravel from Englusters to El Squartals and do a lot of altitude training here, so spend a lot of time here actually. So really looking forward to it.
And you've got a place just a bit up the road from here, or about 1100 meters up the road from here.
No, it's about 20k from here.
I mean in altitude.
Ah, I see, yeah. It's about 1 kilometre vertical gain from here. So I spend a lot of time training there, and it's an amazing place to ride a bike actually. The country invests a lot in safety for cyclists. It's probably the only place in the world I've been where all the road signs are telling drivers to be careful of bike riders, and making the road infrastructure as good as possible for cyclists. So should be a good stage. I think it'll be really good crowds. It's definitely a lot of people here at the start, so I'm sure all the climbs will be similar, hopefully.
Well, I was Theo Gegenhart doing a decent job for the Andorra Tourist Board this morning. Don't think Lionel will be convinced, however. But it is very beautiful, actually, outside of the main conurbation, where there are a lot of sort of duty-free shops and so on. Up here in the hills, it's very green and lush and, well, Pyrenean, I suppose, and nice. And, the Chavez doesn't seem to have made contact again with that group, which is very unfortunate for him. And he was, for a moment there, with Eddie, the red jersey wearer, who is losing that red jersey as we speak. Up front, Bouchard is off on his own now, with Theo Gegenhart chasing. But it's going to come down to this climb here. I mean, Miguel Angel Lopez, surrounded by Astana teammates with some up the road, looks to be in a very strong position. But let's await and see what happens. Well, suddenly got very, very cold up here, and the rain is falling a bit heavier. Watching pictures of the race, and they are riding in beautiful sunshine by the looks of things, but they're heading into some nasty weather if this carries on. That group, initially 34 riders, is being really reduced quite dramatically, and there's some strong riders still up there. Robert Hessing, Sepp Kuss for Jumbo-Visma, Wilco Kelderman for Sunweb as well is looking good, Jakob Fuglsang, Gorka Izagirre, Mark Soler from Movistar, Mikael Nievi from Mitchelton Scott. But what was I talking about earlier? Nicolai Eddy has 3 minutes on Lopez. He's about a minute down at the moment. And as I watch, you can maybe hear some clanging in the background, but the barriers by the side of the road on the hairpin just below me, with about 500-600 metres to the line, have just collapsed. They've just been blown over. So a bit of work to do for the marshals down there to try and get that right before the riders appear. They're a bit away, they're just sort of approaching the foot of this climb, but still quite a long way to go. Eddie is 3 minutes ahead at the start of the day. I think he will lose that up on the way up here, but at the moment he remains in red, literally and virtually. So got ahead of myself there, but I do think Lopez probably be in red tonight. Well, if not Lopez, then one of the top four, Lopez, Quintana, Valverde or Roglic. Well, quite a statement from Lopez, who attacked hard with 20 kilometers to go up to the summit here. Quintana reacted, and then Roglic, and then Valverde, and it came back together. Those four off the front, then they kind of fanned across the road, looking at each other. Cuatro Mosqueteros, the commentator was calling them, and it regrouped, and then Lopez went again, hard again, and he's got quite a gap. No real panic behind Movistar, and Jumbo-Visma are kind of pegging him, but a real statement from Lopez, who obviously feels good and obviously feels like he needs quite a bit of time ahead of the time trial on Tuesday. So still a long way to go, but Lopez looking extremely good at the moment. Well, it's all happening here. People are running for cover because it is very heavy now, the rain. And Lopez is gone, but they're holding him at 40 seconds. But Roglic's really being worked over by Movistar. They're not helping him bring back Lopez. Instead, they're trying to also get a bit of time on him. Valverde and Quintana, especially Quintana, attacking a lot. but it's still all to play for. Up front, Theo Gegenhardt has ridden a very measured race and has got back to Bouchard and in fact has attacked him. Ben O'Connor up there too. So Lopez is closing on them though. He may well catch them and get the stage the way things are going. Oh, the glamour. Hannah, would you rather get a cable car down or try and get your car out of our field?
Well, I don't have to get out of the field, so I can sit in it if someone else has to get it out.
Teamwork.
I don't fancy your chances getting down in a cable car, to be honest with you. Surely it's further to walk towards the cable car than it is to the van.
Whoa. Okay. This is getting serious. And in the race, Theo Gegenhardt up front with Bouchard, O'Connor chasing. Textbook stuff from Astana with Lopez, with Jakob Fuglsang. He got a lot of help from Gorka Izagirre a bit earlier as well. And this is what they're riding into. Wow. Oh, I don't know if you've noticed, Hannah, but the cable car is very much still working.
It is. Do you know what? Every Grand Tour I've been on this year, there's been a hailstorm at the top of a mountain like this. I think I'm going to cut the mountains out next year.
We've lost pictures up here. The thunder's cracking. Cable car's still working. The rain is, it's rain again after a bit of hail. And from what we can follow from the race, Marc Soler, Geoffrey Bouchard and Theo Gegenhardt are ahead with Ben O'Connor just behind. But behind them, Valverde and Quintana seem to have jumped up to Lopez and Fuglsang and left Roglic behind. So mission accomplished for them. They've got about 22 seconds on Roglic at the moment, who's with Sepp Kuss, who of course was in that move earlier. So thrilling day's racing that I think a lot of people haven't been able to watch because we've lost the pictures. Well, riders appearing at the top here caked in a sort of, well, clay-like mud from the gravel bit, and Miguel Angel Lopez also with blood on his elbow, and he crashed, which we missed because we lost pictures for a while, and that obviously explained also why he lost some of that time. But I mean, absolute scenes of absolute chaos up here. Riders scrambling up muddy banks to try and get in the cable car. They're all being rushed down the mountain as quickly as possible. Obviously, some of them are riding down, but it's still pretty cold. And it could take its toll. One guy who looks very fresh indeed is the winner, Tadej Pogačar, who is going through the mix zone just now, speaking to journalists, looking fresh as a daisy, off in the way with the winner, of course. But what a performance by him today, really exceptional. Might be difficult to talk to him today, but definitely want to speak to him in the coming days. One of the questions being, of course, will he finish this Vuelta at such a young age? Is that the plan for him? We'll try and find out.
The fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Kenyon's Run.
Well, thank you very much indeed to Rafa for supporting the cycling podcast. And I got an email today from Rafa telling me that their latest film, the latest EF Gone Racing film, is available. I think it's Leadville. I'm going to watch that tomorrow on the rest day. And I need a rest. Well, I know I've been here one day and I need a rest because today was uber stressful. We're very late hooking up. I've got Lionel Burney on the line. Hello, learning. Lionel. Just joining your names together.
Hello.
There. Hello, Lionel.
Hello, Blimey. Hello. Well, my flight home from Barcelona was delayed by 3 hours and I thought I was having a bad day, but it sounds like your logistics were even more challenging.
Well, it started off, as you know, Lionel, with me parking in the incorrect place because you got a call as you were waiting for your plane from the Vuelta saying the cycling podcast car is conspicuously parked. I don't think it really was, but it caused them to flap quite a lot.
Well, yeah. I got two calls on that score because the second call was even more agitated than the first, and they were threatening to tow the car away if you didn't move it within 5 minutes. And I was just boarding my flight at this point, so I was panicking slightly that you were going to be walking around the rest of the Vuelta.
Nah, empty threats, Lionel, empty threats. Always well. I was up having lunch in Jack Haig's cafe, as I mentioned earlier, and having a coffee with Hannah Barnes, who was doing a bit of motor doping on her electric bike, whizzing around Andorra. Anyway, let's just catch up with what happened in the stage, shall we? The results, because I you know, sort of tried to keep people updated as it was unfolding before me. But Tadej Pogačar, what are we calling him?
Pogačar.
He won the stage. We're going to be talking about him a lot, I think, for the next decade, by the looks of things. He's 20 years old. Extraordinary performance from him today. Nairo Quintana second at 23 seconds. Primož Roglič ended up third on the stage, which another really, you know, what looked like, it looked like it was slipping away from him at one point, but he rescued it. Despite crashing, we learned later. Alejandro Valverde was fourth, Marc Soler fifth, and how that affects the GC is that Quintana is now the leader, 6 seconds ahead of Primož Roglič, with Miguel Angel Lopez down to 17 seconds, Dart back in third, and Valverde fourth at 20 seconds. Pogačar up to fifth at 1:42, and Carl Fredrik Hagen, who somebody suggests is riding Ala Zubeldia, the Lotto Soudal rider, Norwegian, he is sixth at 1:46. There may be some blanks that you can fill in, Lionel. I don't think anybody saw the crashes involving Lopez and Roglic. They were, you know, on the gravelly bit of road, which was just a mud bath by all accounts. And the riders at the finish were absolutely filthy. I don't think you actually saw what happened there either, did you?
No, well, the TV coverage was lost for quite a number of kilometres. I think it came back on with about 4.5 kilometres to go. But we were treated to shots of heavy rain on the finish line and sort of aerial shots, not of the race, but just of Andorra. All very nice, but obviously the cloud had rolled in and it meant that the picture signal was not coming through. So it was a real kind of old school stage, really, because clearly so much happened. Quintana is back in the red jersey, as you said, Richard, for the first time since he won the race in 2016. I mean, the red jersey, it's not so much a slippery bar of soap now, is it? It's a game of pass the parcel, and every day it's
slippery parcel. Is the parcel a bar of soap, in fact?
5 days in a row, the jersey has moved from one set of shoulders to another. Primož Roglič was looking very bad at one point and then very good, and you know, we'll probably look at today as a pretty good day, in that he's distanced Miguel Angel Lopez but has lost a bit to Quintana, and a first Grand Tour stage win for Tadej Pogačar. You're right, Rich. He is going to be someone we're going to be talking a lot about. He's not quite in the Egan Bernal mould yet, but we know he has a pedigree, because I was thinking today about how reliable as a kind of indicator of future success at World Tour level the Tour de l'Avenir is becoming, because Pogačar won the Tour de l'Avenir last year, and other winners of the l'Avenir in past decade include Bernal, of course, and several riders who are doing well in this Vuelta: Quintana, Lopez, Chavez, Soler. But for me, the moment of the day was Marc Soler, who was up the road from Movistar, and when he was clearly told on his race radio in his ear to wait for Quintana, who was kind of coming up behind, he could not have expressed his displeasure more theatrically, shaking his head and waving his arm and shaking his head again. And I wasn't terribly convinced by the job that he did for Quintana, really. I'm judging this based on the patchy TV pictures we saw, to be fair, so maybe he was giving some really strong pulls. But it was an absolutely fascinating day of racing, and funnily enough, the fact that you couldn't see everything that was going on made it all the more intriguing in a way.
Yeah, if I should explain the background music here. I found a restaurant, amazingly. It's very late now, and I'm in France, and on a Sunday night in France at this time, hard to get a meal. The riders, when you say old school, Lionel, the way the riders had to get off the mountains, old school as well. The rain was falling again, and there was thunder, lightning, very, very frightening, etc. You know, the riders were going to ride down the mountain, as they do, but few of them did. Kirienka did, obviously, but most of the riders queued for the cable car. We'll hear from James Knox and Nick Schultz a little bit later on, and we'll hear about that from them, but they queued for the cable cars, which then seemed to get stuck, and there were huge delays on the cable cars. There was all the riders were allowed on; they were given priority, which I was a bit annoyed about. And then the all the people who were working on the race were allowed down, and then there were the fans who were up there, and there were a lot of them. So a lot of people up the mountain very late and waiting to get back down, and cold and wet and so on. But yeah, I mean, Marc Soler, would he have held on to win the stage? It doesn't look like it, the way that Pogacar was going. And really, regardless of that, he shouldn't. I mean, if he's there to try and help his team win the Vuelta, then he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have complained about being asked to go back, really, should he? No. Even if he was, sort of unhappy about that, or felt that he had a chance of winning the stage, he's got to accept that the bigger picture is more important than a stage win for Marc Soler. So not great that. But shall we hear from a couple of teammates of Primoz Roglic who didn't know that he'd fallen at the top? The Americans Nielsen Paulus and Sepp Kuss, both of whom did a very important job for him today, getting him that big break. Let's hear first from Sepp Kuss and then from Nielsen Paulus.
Yeah, towards the end it was just kind of a matter of communicating what was going on behind, and I think we'll have to see what the differences are in the end, but hopefully we did a okay job of keeping Primoz up there, and I had a little incident with the motorbike on the beginning of the gravel section, which was too bad, but I think we limited losses there. I mean, I think he's good in any conditions. I enjoyed it when it got a little bit colder. That was kind of nice. Crazy weather up in the mountains.
You had a big job today. Satisfied with the work you were able to do for Primoz today?
Yeah, pretty satisfied. I think I haven't really been in situations like this quite too often yet. I think I'm still sort of getting used to the role of climbing domestique, and I think I started giving my pull a little bit too hard too early, so I didn't last as long as I feel like I should have been able to. I wanted to last another 500 meters and make it over the top of the first pitch of the last climb, and then hopefully have given one more longer pull on the 1 kilometer flat section before it hit the second step. But at the end of the day, I think Robert was still able to come back and give a really good pull close to that section anyways, so turned out to be it was a good day for us.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, a lot happened today. Yeah. At the end of it, it looks like it has been a good day for Roglic.
Yeah. I think it's good for him, especially that he's within striking distance before the time trial, and also not in the jersey, so he can get down the mountain, get recovered faster. So, yeah.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much indeed to Science of Sport for their support of the Cycling Podcast, and you can get 25% off all your Science of Sport products at scienceofsport.com with the code SISCP25. That's SISCP25. Later in the week, I think we'll be hearing a little bit from some of the Team Ineos riders about their favourite Science of Sport products. They are using Science of Sport products, of course. And Theo Gegenhardt must have used the right stuff today, because we heard from him earlier on in the episode, but he put in a strong performance on roads that he knows very well, as did our two audio diarists. Nick Schultz was called upon to help Esteban Chavez when he had a problem with his rear mech, it was actually, I heard later on. And actually, I was saying during my sort of report earlier that Chavez's Vuelta really hung in the balance. I think he did okay, limited the damage in the end. I'm not exactly sure where he finished, but I don't think it was as disastrous as I feared. Am I right, Lionel? I can't actually see the result or what.
4:43 lost today. I mean, he was looking okay. He was really scrapping for a while, wasn't he? And I think maybe put himself into the red a bit. We've got to remember with Chavez, he's coming back, isn't he, still? And he's perhaps not in the same sort of physical shape that he was when he was when he got on the podium at the Giro a few years ago now.
And the Vuelta.
And the Vuelta, of course, yeah. But yeah, this for him, this is all about just rediscovering racing at the top end again, I think. And
yeah.
He's done all right. But
he's down a 14th overall. Very hard. It was a difficult point at which to puncture. But Nick Schultz was helping him get back up for a while there. It's a challenging day for them. And James Knox, well, he rode exceptionally well today. He was in that group of GC riders till late on, and in fact he was on Pogacar's wheel for quite a long time, the sort of last man in that group. He ended up, where did he finish on the stage? He was 18th on the stage, 3:23 down, but a good day for him, I think. And well, we'll hear that in his diary that we're about to hear now. Let's hear first from Nick Schultz and then from James Knox.
Well, a relief to say that stage 9 is behind us and we're on the long transfer to Po in France, where we'll have the first rest day tomorrow, which is can't come soon enough. A very, very eventful day today on one of the key stages. As a team, we were quite unlucky with Esteban having a bike issue on the second climb of the day, and we sort of had to rally behind him there to try and help limit the losses. And to be honest, it was quite incredible that he kept going and limited the losses as much as he did, having had a problem so early at the especially considering the pace that was being ridden at that point. So big kudos to him, and he's certainly still in the game. But there's quite a few eventful stories to go through today. So we started with sunshine and reasonably warm weather. Got over the first climb, over the second, and luckily down the descent of the second climb, which is a really, really dangerous descent. And then we started the final haul up to the finish, which was essentially three categorised climbs, all more or less joined into one. It started raining there, quickly became very cold, and actually it started to hail very, very heavily, golf ball sized hailstones, to the point that the few riders I was riding with at that time, we actually all stopped and hid under the under shelter, which I've never done before in a race, and I find it hard to think back to any moment where I've actually ever had to stop out training due to bad weather. So that was pretty epic and also weird to do mid stage of a grand tour. Once it sort of settled down a bit after a few minutes, we got going again, and then we came to one of our team cars, and at that point Damien House and I were riding together, so we both stopped at the car, got some food, got some warmer clothes, and then kept riding up to the finish in pretty cold weather. Day wasn't over yet, though, as we had to get back down the mountain to where the buses were parked. From there, one option was to ride, but the weather was really bad, so it was recommended that we take the ski lift or the gondola back down the hill. So that sounded like a smart idea. Not too cold that way. Got in line, we were waiting, sort of things weren't moving, but after 20 minutes or so we finally got in a carriage to head down with a bunch of other riders, and it must have taken 20 to 30 minutes to get down, as they were having some malfunctions with the gondola, which wasn't ideal, as I'm a little bit scared of heights, so it was certainly a stressful way to get back to the bus. But we eventually got there and got showered, and now we're on our way, and probably an hour or so into a 4.5-5 hour transfer. So we're going to have dinner on the bus tonight. I believe our chef has prepared burritos. We've already had a lot of good banter. Everyone's in good spirits and just looking forward to a nice easy day tomorrow. That's about it. So I'll check in at the next stage. Cheers.
First off, sorry for the slow diary today. Cheeky Andorran government makes you pay a load of money for data, so I've had to wait until I get into France, and we had the world's longest post-race dispatch, first I had control and then taking the telecabin, world's slowest telecabin I've ever been on. I don't know what was going on. We were stopping and starting just to cap off a brutal day. I think it took almost an extra hour to get off the top of the mountain, so didn't need that. That was not what I needed at the end of a hard day, but yeah, in the thick of it for the first time really today. Still a few disappointments again because I didn't make the breakaway, but I don't know if it's just suffering a little bit from the crash, but at the start I felt awful, just full gas in the wheels, watching guys attack, and I wasn't going anywhere. Not really sure what to make of this. I need to change something because, you know, getting in a break and getting up the road is still one of the main priorities here. But yeah, I've been struggling at the start of the race for the last couple of days now, but did loosen off again. The pace set on the Galena was really tough, but I managed to hang in there and was sort of pleasantly surprised, should I say, to look around and see there was only maybe 15 guys left at the top. Crazy descent down there. Did what I could to take on a bit of food, water, get ready for the final part of the race. I was hanging in okay, and then yeah, when it started, first Lopez, well, there's actually quite a few attacks, Valverde, Lopez, Roglic, Quintana. I really struggled. I mean, I was already a block, so the accelerations were the final nail in the coffin there, but dangled off the back of that little GC group, came back once or twice, and then was fully dispatched before the penultimate summit. That's right, before the gravel road and during all this filthy hailstone storm, which I've not really experienced before. Well, I mean, I've seen hailstones, but I've not had to ride in them like that. Took quite a beating. Wasn't much fun at all. About the most painful part of a race I've ever been in, getting smashed by hailstones for 10-15 minutes, 2 centimetres, 3 centimetres across, and just expected to get on with it. I thought it was pretty ridiculous, but you know, again, highlighting cycling, just get on with it. And then that dirt road where there was water everywhere, bit of a mess, not gonna lie. I was off the back, so I was in the convoy trying to come around cars, dodging puddles, not knowing really what the, so much water on the dirt, couldn't really see what was going on. And then yeah, just fought and made my own pace up the final climb. So that was today. I guess I should be pretty happy to see where the legs are going. Seem to be improving. Big step up there today, following some top guys compared to the start of the race. So yeah, hopefully more to come. We've got a nice rest day tomorrow as well, so that's something to look forward to. Some pizza on the bus after the race today is a little treat for a rest day tomorrow. Little things just to keep the morale. Not so good for morale is this 4 or 5 hour trip to Po for the hotel tonight. It's going to be a long day. I reckon we're going to get there for after midnight, maybe even 1 a.m. So these are the realities of cycling you don't get to see on the TV. Not really had a transfer like this before, so yeah, a bit of a not a great organization set up, but like I said, we'll get on with it. Just remembered a particular highlight of the day, something that hopefully, well, there's actually a couple of things unique to today. First off, started the day with no bottles, which has never happened before, and I hope I'm never in a situation where I have to sacrifice having a drink over 600 grams of weight. Secondly, these hailstones were so bad on the penultimate climb. I spent like a kilometer trying to grab umbrellas off spectators. DS is shouting at me from behind because I don't think they know what was going on. I was just hand out, reaching for umbrellas and just getting high fives back. Bizarre situation, but honestly, these hailstones, I've got chicken pox now. I've just got little red dots. I heard from a lot of guys that a lot of people just stop and took cover behind. It's really filthy, filthy hailstones. Not the sort of stuff you want to be out and about in. And yeah, an umbrella would have been nice, so. Yeah, a couple of firsts today. Tick them off. Something to remember in a few years.
Hearing from Nick and James there, a real reminder that on a day like this, although it was only short, less than 100 kilometres, you know, there's so many stories that will come out, and, you know, in dribs and drabs, won't they? Because it was a really eventful stage. We'll perhaps hear that other riders who crashed or had mechanical problems, not least because there was a significant portion of the stage that didn't manage to make it onto the TV. And it really was one of those days where a case of sort of every man for himself from a real early point in the stage. I mean, it was full on from start to finish, I think. And
it wasn't so much a long period that was in the dark, but it was clearly a key moment. You know, quite a lot.
Yeah.
The pictures went dead, and when it came back, it's as if everybody had been sort of thrown in the air and landed in a different place. It was quite strange. We were challenging the elements and everything up there. Lionel, my Castley has arrived. I'm having a Castley in honor of you tonight. I'm in Castley, country.
That's a low blow. It looks very nice.
It's just wonderful that you've been able to rustle this up for me. What, on a night where, I mean, poor old Daniel, you know, had his car broken into last night. And because we were delayed getting off the mountain, he's basically lost his reservation in the hotel that we were all supposed to stay in. So no Daniel tonight. But he did look great in his new outfit that he bought in Andorra, the Lacoste white tracksuit and the cheap designer gear that he managed to get his hands on.
We shouldn't make light of the fact that
he was making light of it.
I mean, terrible that really. I mean, in around the finish, there's obviously lots of vehicles. We see it every now and again, don't we, with team trucks getting broken into. It seems to be a kind of you can't get through February without a team losing some bikes at a training camp or an early season race. I mean, they're pretty obvious that there's going to be equipment in a lot of the vehicles that are following the race as well. So yeah, real unfortunate day for Daniel yesterday and tonight, it sounds. I mean, Cassiolet for Daniel.
No, Cassidy, but he'll be having pizza or something in Andorra. Just before we go tonight, Lionel, I listened to last night's podcast in full, including the Irish Corner, as I think we're calling it now. You and Orla, blarneying away.
That's what we should have called it.
Having great crack there, you and Orla. And I must say, I was taken aback by the call out for people who'd named their children after cyclists. I mean, who are you, Nicky Campbell? I mean, are you turning into Nicky Campbell?
I was trying to generate some content for you, Richard, just in case you had a terrible day in Andorra.
What next? Anyway, Neil James Tiffany tweeted us, say, it's funny you mentioned baby names. We'll have a baby in January. And while I like Lionel, Orla, Richard and Daniel, I haven't been thanked for being a friend yet. Maybe I could be swayed with a thank you. Well, thank you, Neil James Tiffany, for being a friend of the podcast. There you go. That should help sway that for you. Any more friends of the podcast to thank, Lionel? I don't have my list in front of me, I'm afraid, so you'll have to do all the thank yous tonight.
Yes, more than happy to say a big thank you to our friends of the podcast, all of our friends of the podcast, but a special thanks this evening to Tristan Aldham, Rachel Westwood, Andrea Johannesson, David Atwood, Jakob Wallstrup, or maybe Jacob Wallstrup, Martin Quinn, Sean Lally, Christopher Standish, Guy Hartley, Jonathan Jenkins, Robin Baker, Jeff Scott, and James Schull. Thank you for signing up as a friend of the podcast. And Well, if anyone listening would like to ask us a question about any aspect of the Vuelta or cycling in general, or the podcast, somebody did actually ask us on Facebook to talk a bit about the logistics, and obviously you've had a very challenging day, Richard, so maybe we'll do that in our press conference episode tomorrow. If you would like to ask a question, send us a voice memo on WhatsApp. The number is in our Twitter biog. And on Twitter we are at @cycling_podcast, but the number is...
It's +44 7971 338 205. That's +44 7971 338 205. Right, I'm going to eat some cassoulet, Lionel.
I don't blame you. I'm going to not eat some cassoulet, unfortunately, but I shall look forward to talking to you tomorrow for our press conference and see what kind of questions the listeners have posed to us.
Great. Thanks, Lionel. Speak to them.
Thanks, Richard.